to Identity Church Sunday morning message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
Okay, well, I actually wrote, I wrote what I wanted to say because this is who I am, and I could talk for a long time because this has been who I am since I met the Lord 32 years ago. So it's kind of hard to put everything into a short span of time. So hopefully I can do what I'm supposed to do. So I just want to say that I am happy to be here, and I am very happy to know that we're moving in a direction where we're going to include more of the Father's heart, not just here, but making it available to the community. And I'm so thankful that Stephanie is beginning the once a month worship nights here. Gives us opportunity to express more of who we are and give opportunity to open the doors to the community, because there are a lot of people like me that enjoy expressive worship, and there are not many churches that allow it. But we're out there, lots and lots of us, and it's always been a challenge over the last 30 years to find houses that open it up. But the reason why I'm sharing today, and I'm going to do a little bit of sharing, a little example. I want to give you some quotes from some people that have been involved in this for many, many years. But the reason being is because we want to set a foundation. And I want to make it available, you know, these teachings to the children so they understand what they're doing. I want to make it teachings available to the adults, which will happen the first Wednesday night in August. And if you're interested in the worship arts, whether it's dance, flags, or signing, miming, painting, we want to give you the understanding so that we're just not doing it out of just doing it. So, okay, Papa, what am I doing? First thing I want to do is I want to read you a quote from Martin Luther, the father of Reformation, because I believe we are in a season of Reformation in our church, but also in the body of Christ. There's a lot going on in the worship arts, not just here. I just came back from the Ukraine, and I keep in touch with my pastor friend in the Philippines, and there is a worship explosion happening everywhere because the Lord is in the business of rebuilding his tabernacle. And as I speak with you today, you'll see that his seat of authority sits upon worship and the expression of worship. Okay, so this is written, I don't know, hundreds of years ago by Martin Luther, the father of the Reformation. And this is what he says. He says, "I am not of the opinion that all the arts shall be crushed to the earth and perish through the gospel, as some bigoted persons pretend, but I would willingly see them all serve him, he who gave them and created them. There is no vehicle which displays the glory of God and the wonder of God as clearly as the worship arts, because art is a reflection of God's creativity and evidence that we are made in his image." Yeah, written hundreds of years ago. But the thing of it is he is Elohim, creator. And so from his first breath over the universe, when he said, "Let there be light," And if Jesus, I don't know how many times, hundreds of times in the Word, has spoken about light, His Father is light, He is light, we are carriers of light, we are the light that's on a hill that shouldn't be put under a bushel. So people see us, whether they are of whatever denomination, they can see the Lord as we express who He has created us to be. And when you tell someone they cannot be who He's created them to be, you're only fostering frustration, disobedience, rebellion. And so it's really important to honor each other, each other's gifting, so that we can be the lively stones and be built into that living habitation of His presence. However, whatever that looks like. And I'm going to share something with you about when I was in the Ukraine. I was blessed with a flag from a team of people that I went to teach. It was a worship arts ministry team and their prophetic team and their prayer team. And we had a meeting, and they ended up blessing me with a flag. And I was like, wow, Lord, that is so odd to have scripture from the book of Job on a flag with a lion. But because of their social and cultural atmosphere, they look at power, the power of God, differently than we do, because it's a communistic mindset, and it is not a USA westernized mindset. So I'm going to show you how different people recognize God in the worship arts culturally. You know, so it's not our way is not the only way. That's why we have to be open, because the United States of America is a melting pot, and we have to be able to honor and respect how other people portray their Father. And so I want to just, now I'm going to go to my notes. Praise God. Help me to stay here. So the first thing that the Lord was telling me, He says, I am like a round cut diamond. A round cut diamond has 57 facets, sometimes 58. It is called a brilliant diamond. And that is what the Lord is like. He is multifaceted. Every time the elders fall down before Him, every time they're worshiping Him, they're holy, 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 and don't forget He's rotating on these wheels and His throne is always moving. So every time that they see Him, there's something else to worship about Him. He has no end. There's always something new with God. There's always something new to discover. And so we are representatives of Him on this earth, so we shouldn't be boring. We should not be boring. And how many Christians are boring? All right, so don't beat each other up, all right? So this morning, I was very impressed during the worship, because I know that Stephanie, she didn't even remember that I was going to share today, but it was so interesting, your song set, because you talked about Jesus as the banner, you talked about dancing for His glory, you talked about prophesying, partnering with the heart of God. So you talked about it being a new day. And so I believe it is a new day for this house. I believe that God is honoring us and giving us, as Jean prophesied, a new fragrance. A new fragrance. We are releasing a new fragrance in this house. We have done a lot of work out in the toiling and bringing forth the prayer journeys that we have over the last 4 months. We're doing a lot of plowing, and we dropped lots of seeds into the ground, and now the Lord is bringing the fruit forth, is going to come forth out of us, because the Word is a double-edged sword. So during that time, He's been working on the house this way, as we are decreeing and prophesying that way. So I want to say thank you, Father, for those opportunities. And part of this is a little bit of a challenge I had because of my upbringing. My first and foremost desire was to get to know my father. So wherever I go, I've been teaching for 30 years. That is what I have to talk about him. So I want to invite the father to come this morning however he likes. There's a lot of us that haven't made time to study about who he is and how he's expressed, but I will tell you he has 365 names. So it would probably take a lifetime in our natural span of life to really discover everything about the Father. So a lot of us just know him. Maybe we hear him as Alpha Omega, and we think about him in the timing of our lives, or we think about him as the shepherd, the one who guides us in our situations, or the bishop of our souls who sets our borders and boundaries, places us in the churches he wants us to be. Sometimes we call him friend because he brings us counsel and understanding. He brings us wisdom. And this morning, we invited him as King of Glory, one of my favorite aspects of his character because he's so powerful. I just love experiencing, seeing the power of God at work in people's lives. I love being a part of it, partnering with him, and releasing that through his word or prayer or intercession, however. But the King of Glory, he breaks the way open for us. And Psalms 24 is an outstanding illustration of who he is and how he operates. He certainly is Lord Sabaoth, captain of the hosts of the armies of heaven. And when I was first introduced to him as Jehovah Nissi, the banner, that is what I saw. Because a king deserves pageantry. He deserves honor. He deserves worship. He deserves to be lifted high, acknowledged just in every possible way we can. And the worship in the worship arts, that is a vehicle to do just that to the King of Glory, to bring that kind of honor and reverence and notoriety to everything he's ever done. You know, we see him revealed that way in Exodus 17 as Jehovah Nissi, the banner, battling, you know, evil and good. And he says, you know, you're always going to be doing this until he comes back. So the banner is a way of expressing different aspects of his personality. Banners were used because people didn't have written language, but they could interpret symbols. They could interpret colors. And it was first and foremost used in the military because it always let them know which way the wind was blowing, which was important because back in the day, mostly they just had bows and arrows. So they needed that. And we still need it. We still need to know the direction of the Holy Spirit. And flags can illustrate that through their colors and through their symbols, where he's going or when he's coming. I love Jack Taylor's book, The Cosmic Initiative. He has a statement in there. This is one thing that the Church of Jesus Christ has lost, I believe. And it's something I'm a stickler about it. Get to know him, because when you do, you will undoubtedly stand in awe of who he is and what he can do. Okay? And Jack says, awe is more than an emotion. It is a way of understanding, insight into a meaning greater than ourselves. The beginning of awe is wonder, and the beginning of wisdom is awe. And that is something that we miss in this country, specifically because we have so many distractions. So many distractions. I think of a time I was in the Amazon jungle with a bunch of Indians, and we were worshiping the Lord. All they had was one guitar and a lady who had made a shaker thing she called a chukka chukka, because that's the sound that it made, chukka chukka, when she did it, and was with seed pods that were dried out. But they were in awe of God. They had no distractions like we do. They were just totally sold out. I mean, yeah, if you can worship God in a dump which I've been with people in Honduras and Haiti and Peru and places like that where they have absolutely nothing. God is absolutely everything. And so in our country, we need to get back to understanding and embracing that God is absolutely everything. So we have to put him in proper perspective. And when we do that, this is another guy I love quoting. His name is Max Lucado. I'm sure many of you know his name. He's written many books. But there's one quote that I have carried with me for 30 years. Worship is the thank you that cannot be silent. So if we live a life of thanksgiving, going through the bad times and the good times, but still have a thankful heart, then we will have God in the right perspective in our life. And that's what we need. Because worship was written upon the heart of man by the hand of God. In a broad sense, worship is inseparable from and is an expression of life. It's not that man cannot live without worship, it is that he cannot fully live. Man was made to worship as surely as he was made to breathe. We may restrict the expression of worship for a season, just as we may briefly hold our breath. But there is an inward craving for worship that cannot be permanently stilled. So worship ultimately is a response of love and knowing love. That is why we need to, as Identity Church, as a church that sonship is revealed, it is really important to have our relationship with our Father in the proper perspective. Because our worship is reflected in the way we see ourselves in the light of our worth in God. If we don't know who we are, if we don't feel valuable, if we don't know that we're valuable to our Father, then it's hard to lay aside the shame and all of our garbage and just say, hey, here I am, naked before you. I want to worship you no matter what. No matter what. Like Charlie said, you know, about God doesn't care about our sin. He's a lot bigger than that. Here's a quote from John MacArthur. Worship consists of a feeling in the heart stemming from the humbling but delightful sense of admiring the astonishing wonder of the God of the universe. We can find him everywhere and anywhere if we're just looking. Like Stephanie was saying about opening our eyes, we can find God any place. I mean, even yesterday on the prayer journey, right? We're coming back here. We were praying for something. All of a sudden, this truck goes by with 333, and out of my mouth comes Jeremiah 33:3. I was shook.
No, it wasn't a truck. It was a race car on a trailer.
Oh, a race car on a trailer. And all I saw were the numbers.
All I saw was the race car.
but if you have... Yeah, if you have an eye to see the Lord, you will see him in everything and anything. And if the Word of God has been cultivated in your heart by spending time with him and reading your Bible, reasoning the Word with your friends and reasoning and talking together, iron sharpens iron, I mean, you will be that living epistle known and read by men because you're carrying his Word wherever you are. And so you'll see it wherever you are, you know, even if it's on a car, and all I saw were the numbers. But immediately, I didn't have to think about it. It was just Jeremiah 33:3. So we made that declaration over where we were. I mean it. So this, as a worshiper, we experience motivational feelings. Now, that's one of the things, actual definition of a flag is it creates a response. Like when we see the flag of the United States of America, you know, some people go like this, some people go like this, some stand at attention, but it creates a response. And that's what he wants us to do. He said, if I be lifted up, you know, the Father says that Jesus is the ensign. So if we lift him up as the ensign, as Jehovah Nissi, the banner, if we're expressing whatever aspect of his character that the Holy Spirit is saying is moving in the room, we are going to respond. People are going to respond. Lord told me it crosses generations. The worship arts crosses generations. It doesn't matter whether you have a disability. It doesn't matter what your culture is. It doesn't matter. It makes absolutely no sense, no difference at all, you know, because he wants us to respond. And so we're going to respond when someone is doing miming. We're going to respond when someone does their sign language. We're going to respond when we see someone do a presentation of pageantry or prophetic expression in their dance. We are going to respond. We're made to respond to worship. He built us to worship. It's in there. Everything inside of us is worshiping. That's why the enemy hates us so much. He was built with his pipes inside. And we are vibrating. Nothing on this planet is staying still. Everything vibrates. Everything produces color. We don't see the color. We don't have the capability of seeing color. But I'm talking. And if I talk loud, there's red. If I talk low, there's purple. If I'm talking like this, it's green. My heart is vibrating in a color of green. It's the key of C. We are tools of worship just the way we are. And when the Lord looks down on this earth and he sees all of the body of Christ worshiping, we are so beautiful. We are beautiful to him. And he wants us to honor and love one another as he loves us so that we can be free and just worship anywhere, any place, with anybody, at any time. I don't have to understand your language. I don't have to understand your culture. I can go to the Ukraine or Peru or wherever, and I can worship with those people. It makes absolutely no difference. So if we can do that there without shame, without pretense, without all trappings, we should be able to do it right here with each other. So the Bible says that everything in creation responds to God. The trees of the field clap their hands. The mountains and waves declare his majesty. Everything celebrates the Lord. And I think there's a scripture in there that says, if I don't do it, the rocks will cry out. Yeah, believe me, rocks are vibrating. Rocks are producing sound. Rocks are producing color, believe it or not. So the thing of it is we have this privilege. We're human beings. We have a privilege and an honor to respond to the one that created us, Elohim, Creator God, with the ability to release life even as he does. So that's what we do in the speaking of the word, in prophesying, declaring, proclaiming, dancing. I mean, there's so many scriptures in the Bible. If you took time to really study about worship, you would be absolutely amazed at how many scriptures describe what worship is and what worship does in the spirit. But I want to share this scripture from, I love this story of Jesus at the well with the woman from John 4:23. Because I don't know how many people know this, but this is what happens in our churches. So the scripture says, but the hour cometh and now is. So there's no time there. When true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And the word worship there means proskuno, which means to kiss the hand of the master. It's kind of like a dog coming up to its master and the dog licks its hand. That's what proskuno is. So that's what the Father is looking for. So I just pray that in this house and whoever else is listening, that whatever paradigm you have for worship just go out in the toilet. Because the fact of the matter is the Lord is looking for you to engage with him in that manner. And that's the awe that he's asking for us to have. So this lady was puzzled by this statement. And the Lord, in verse 21, a little bit before that, he said, woman, Believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither worship on this mountain nor in Jerusalem, but you're going to worship the Father. So at that particular time in history, there were two places that people went to worship. One was over here that had everything but the ark. And the other was over here that had an ark and a tent. And people would still go to both places to worship. So we do that. Now, some of us come to church and we're happy just to sit there and not respond. And then there's others that come to church and they know they're before the ark and there is no veil. So you need to think about that, because that is what happens in churches today. Some people are just content to worship with everything but God's presence in them, working through them, experiencing it, recognizing it. They're just happy going on doing that. But we are caretakers of God's presence. So we can choose to worship with the ark, present or not. God gives us that choice. We can participate in the form or formats of worship, or we can be enveloped by Him and worship Him in spirit and truth. So you need to ask the Lord, what does that look like? So here's another quote. I love this guy too, Jason Cornwall. He once said, "The word proskuneo is far more descriptive than the Hebrew word shagah, for in the bowing is added kissing, and this requires close contact. We can always bow at a distance, but kissing requires contact." So proskuneo is what Papa's looking for. So he's looking for the kissing and the close contact in worship. So worship is our ointment poured forth, love poured forth from the heart of a sinner redeemed by grace. And as I said once before, worship is the thank you that cannot be silent. So we express this worship in many different ways as God has gifted us with abilities and talents. Our unique expression mirrors heaven's worship in that we all have been created to worship, but not all in the same ways. So I want to talk about Ezekiel chapter 1. So this chapter reveals to us the intense movements of the living creatures and their job in worship of supporting the throne of authority of God, the raging sounds of a place that is not quiet at all. The imagery of Revelation chapter 22 is also evidence to us that our Father is in the healing business, whether through His creation or through His purposes. He has ordained the praise of children to establish a stronghold against our enemies, silencing the avenger. He tells our feet to crush the enemy's head. Our hands were made to create strength and purpose in the spirit. The dance is an expression of praise, is commanded of us combined with handheld instruments. We are living products of Elohim, Creator God, who set the worlds in place by just the words of His mouth. We, as a bride, are described as fierce and terrible in the enemy's eyes when we raise our banners and clear the highway of the Lord for God's people. So our collective worship prepares for all people to come to the knowledge of the Father and His love. Isaiah 62, that's what it says. Lift up the standard and prepare the way. So one of the things that's been on my heart for a couple of months since, actually 3 years, I met my spiritual son, that the Lord gave me. I met him in a supernatural way, and he has put on my heart to write a book with Andrew about bridging the gap of the generations from Isaiah 58. We have to move forward in worship, realizing that there is a younger generation coming up behind us. And if we don't offer them this expression of who they are, then they are not fully filled, satisfied, or at can become discouraged and not being able to pour out what God has given to them to do. So that's another reason why I'm very, very happy to see Worship Arts open in this house, because it gives us an opportunity to reach a younger generation, which when you look around, we have probably a medium age of, what, 50? 50 years old, and it's like, hello, where's all the 20-year-olds and the 15-year-olds and the 17-year-olds? It's like, I believe this worship night is going to give us an opportunity to offer that to the young people in our community. So Jesus's prayer was, what did he tell his disciples? On earth as it is in heaven. So when you look at Ezekiel chapter 1 and you see what's happening, and in Revelation chapter 5, when you see what's happening around the throne with regard to worship, we have the capability of bringing that here and offering that here. The movement and all of the colors and the sounds and the songs. So right at the moment, or has been really since I can remember, but people are noticing it more, is the scripture from Acts 15 where the Lord says that I will rebuild the tabernacle of David. And that is what he's doing. He is working on the hearts of people who are not afraid, those who have been called to be a pioneer in this area. So that's me, and I've been talking about it as long as I've met the Lord, but it is, I'll die talking about it. Because the Lord loves worship. He loves it, requires it. He's all about it. He created us to worship him. So I want to be a part of building this tabernacle with him. I want to be like David. I want to be able to dance in front of the Pharisees and not give a darn. Yeah, I know it, man. That was your... I don't want to... Yeah. So... I want to be like David. He danced before the Pharisees. And when his wife made a comment, he said, I will be even more undignified than this. So it's like, okay, so Lord, what does that look like? So I just flashed, a story flashed in my mind, so I'm going to just share this. This is, to me, this is what it looks like, okay? I used to go to Daytona City Church, and I was teaching one Sunday morning on the voice of the Lord. From Revelation, when John said, I turned to see his voice. And I was talking about this whole process, what I'm talking about today, about how do we see the voice of God in the worship arts. And there was a dancer, a young man who was part of Steve Gonzalez's dance group. You may have, I don't know if you remember, Gene, but many, many years ago. And they were did acrobatic worship. It was back in the day when people, are you kidding? They used to hang silks from the ceiling and they would dance with these silks everywhere. It was absolutely outstanding. And they trained. So anyway, so he's sitting in the back of the room and I'm up there talking. He had a pair of flip-flops on, cut-off jeans, and a wife beater, white wife beater shirt. And I sensed such a religious spirit in the house, and I felt like I was trying to break through concrete when I was talking. And I forgot his name, but I'll just say, hey, Joe, would you come up here, please? So he comes up there and is cut off and his white wife beater. And I tell Donnie, the worship leader, I said, hey, you know that song Freedom by Jason Upton? I said, would you please play it? This is just, I stopped preaching. I said, so freedom reign in this place, you know? I said, I just looked at him. I said, go for it. Just dance. He got up on that platform. He was doing flips. He was doing cartwheels. He was dancing, flying off the platform, dancing down the aisles, got up on the chair, started dancing. And I says, oh, I just love it. I just love it. Because the thing is that there are people that are going to come in these last days when Joel says, the Father says, I will pour my spirit out on all flesh, we have no clue what that's going to look like. Because we have our little boxes of, okay, so the Holy Spirit's, he gives us tongues. He gives us these gifts that are listed in the Bible. He gives us this and this and this. But we don't have a clue of what the Holy Spirit can do. We only seen a small little speck of his power and his glory and his heart. I mean, we really haven't seen the Father's heart. So can you imagine? So for that little moment in time, that little 8-minute Jason Upton song, those people were exposed to completely unashamed worship. So get ready, because there's people out there that are going to come. And don't get offended like his wife did and make an opinion or formulate an opinion or a judgment about how someone else worships God. Be willing to love and receive him the way he was created. And this is something I wanted to share with you that the Lord gave me as a way of explaining worship. So how many of you remember a Rubik's Cube? Okay. Does anyone have any idea how many combinations you can do with a Rubik's Cube? Quintillion. That's 43 with 18 zeros. You can Google it and find, I mean, I had to, because the Lord questioned me. He says, how many combinations do you think there is in my Rubik's Cube? You know, there's 9 boxes on each side. So the fruit of God in worship is immeasurable. 43 quintillion ways to worship God. Yeah, this is New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem. Psalms 132, the dwelling place of God. How many times have we prayed that over this house? So if we are going to be Psalms 132, dwelling place of God, we need to be open to the ways that God allows or works in a person's heart to worship him. So that's how much freedom there is. And I'll tell you what, you're looking for signs, wonders, and miracles? Worship. Because on worship, it's his seat of authority. And we see that. He sits upon the wheels within the wheels that are full of fire, full of eyes. And that's what we want. So we have a new season upon us here in our church. And I just really encourage you. I lost a piece of my Bible. I've been meaning to tape this thing. But I didn't. There it goes. It was Psalms 29, because I'm always there about the voice of the Lord. Okay. Sorry. I know I'm just unraveling. Yes. So I just want to thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. This was something else he gave me this morning about reflecting the glory of God. When we worship, we reflect the glory of God. And what that means is we reflect his dignity. We reflect his reputation. We reflect his pleasure. We reflect his honor. We reflect his praise. We reflect his glory. And so when we worship, we are changed from the glory to glory, into the image of God. So I just want to say it's a pleasure, it's a joy to worship. So I just wanted to share this with you just for a second and just show you how different cultures look at the Lord in different ways. You want to help me, Terry? So this is what was given to me. So it was really cool. I made a supernatural connection with a pastor in a city. We ended up praying. There's another whole nother story to that that I shared with Pastor Charlie. But this pastor and his wife gave me this flag. They wrapped me in it. So I'm just going to read to you because I never looked at it this way. This is Job chapter 40, verses 1 through 7. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, "Shall one who contends with the Almighty correct him? He who rebukes God, let him answer it." Then Job answered the Lord and said, "Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yes, twice, but I will proceed no further." Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Now prepare yourself like a man, for I will question you, and you shall answer me." Now, in the Western culture, people immediately go to Revelation chapter 5. And talk about glory and honor and blessing belong to you. Holy, holy, holy. The one who's able to open the scrolls, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Okay, so we didn't grow up with a ceiling over our head. We didn't grow up in a communistic country where everything is so oppressive. And so their perception of God is revealed in Job 40, verses 1 through 7. Completely different than the way we look at it. But you want to know something? They have an awe of the might and majesty of God, and that he is the righteous judge. And if he wants to just flick them off in an instant, he can. It's still true, but we don't process that part of his personality. So wherever you, it's beautiful. I was just totally took. This is Psalms, but it's Psalms, actually, it's 113 for them, but it's 112 for us. Yeah, 7 through 9. So no matter where you go, you know, if we're going to be a going church, if we're going to continue to be a going church, as whether we go out into the community and we partner with other churches in the community, or we go to other countries and we partner with other ministries in other countries. Going back to the very first thing I said about our Father, we have to get to know the Father so that we can present him to the lost and to those who need him in a way that is palatable, receivable, and lovable, and we can do this through our voice, we can do it with our dance, we can do it with our flags, we can do it through our painting. So I'm just praying that God, Elohim, Creator God, come and visit this place and every person that's part of our congregation and bring a sense of awe and wonder back to their hearts. And I pray for a release of his creativity in this house that would serve him. Not necessarily serve us, but serve him and his plans and his purposes and the vision for this house and this community, that our doors would be open to those that are young, to those that are curious, to those that have an artistic desire, an artistic talent that has been squelched and needs expression. So just... I'm asking everybody else that maybe has a hard time with this to just open your hearts to something new, because God is always moving. He's always moving forward. He never moves backward. So I praise God for that. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father, for the opportunity to share your word, for the opportunity to open up some understanding, maybe in areas that were questioned or questionable to others. I thank you, Lord, that you're moving forward in this house, and you are going to bring yourself. You're going to start turning that diamond and showing us the facets of your beauty, that we would begin to be in awe of who you are. So we thank you, Lord. I thank you for what Stephanie said this morning about the King of Glory opening up the gate of heaven over this house. I thank you, Lord, that you trust us. You are trusting us to be gatekeepers of that doorway. I thank you for the highway that you are creating in this place, out of this house. I thank you, Father, that we will be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, raising up that standard and clearing the highway for those that are coming this way. I thank you that we will make you plain. You will be glorious. You will be seen. I thank you, Father, that you have knit us together. You are knitting us together as a house of living stones, creating the habitation of one, Psalms 132, bringing Psalms 133, the unity that Wendy gave the word to Charlie. We need you, Lord. We are nothing without you. And we thank you for the ointment poured forth from the head down to the bottom of the garment of our pastor. We thank you that you promise that there are blessings when brethren dwell together in unity. So that's what I speak over this house in this new season. Amen.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.